As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, the daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures each and every day of the work week from right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports. You can find them online at impactpowersportsmi.com. I found a grave in the woods up north on my property. What? Yeah. Walking through the woods, I found a tombstone. At first, I thought maybe it's just a marker. And I'll fill in all the details in a second. I just kind of want this to settle in your brain. And when I was walking through the woods, we were losing the rest of our sunlight. This was on Saturday night. The moon was peering out behind clouds. And it was spooky as hell. And I stumbled upon a grave on my property, like a well-manicured tombstone. Holy shit. What the hell? Okay, let me back up and give you the details. This is an unbelievable saga. It all started when I was driving onto the property. There's a two-track road, and it leads to my driveway. About 100 feet before my driveway, this is all my property, this whole area. And I noticed that off of the road was a path that has not been there. And it was manicured, and it's on my property. I'm like, what the? Who the hell is going to make a path on my property? And it was manicured, and there was all the leaves were gone. And then there was like logs that were put on the side of the path. And I go, someone has created a path on my property. This is not good. This is like my worst nightmare. So I go ahead and I wander down this path. I park the truck. I wander down this path. And as I'm walking towards it, at the base of a tree is a tombstone. And I'm losing my mind. I'm like, what the hell is this? The name on it is the name of people that used to live next door on the next piece of property. And I'm like, oh my God. Well, why would they bury these people? It was a husband and wife. One had died in 99 and the other had died in 2013. And they're buried there. Or at least that's what I was thinking. And it turns out that it's actually cremated remains that are down there. What the hell? Somebody buried the neighbor. Okay, so these people used to live next door. They had a dwelling. All I knew was that they sold the property. The government bought it. Remember, I told you it butts up against an artillery range. If somebody's going to sell, they're going to buy it because they want more space. They tore down the dwelling. There's no evidence that there was anything even there. I remember these people because we were tight with everybody in that whole up north community. when I was very, very young with my dad. He would like invite them over and whatever. I don't really have any memory of this. I have very little memory of this. But there I am looking at a grave. It's like, all right, I gotta do some research here. So I'm poking around online. I'm actually driving back because I don't have any cell service up there. I'm driving back, you know, to here after the weekend. And so I make a phone call, and this person answers the phone. And I go, hello, is this? And he goes, well, yeah, I am the son of the two people on that tombstone. This dude's name is Ray. And Ray sounds like an old timer himself. And the two people that were on the tombstone were born in the 1920s. All right. And this guy sounds like an old timer himself. So I'm doing the math in my head. When the two that are in the ground had a baby, they were in their 20s, and they had the guy that I'm talking to right now on the phone. I go, all right, hey, so anyway, my name is, and he goes, oh, are you on the Z property? Because my dad used to have a big fucking Z at the entrance to the property. Are you on the Z property? I go, yes, that's me. That's me. Yes, you know my dad. He goes, yes, I do know your dad. I go, outstanding. I go, so I was walking around in the woods, and I stumbled upon a tombstone for your mom and dad on my property. Immediately, he goes, that's my property. I'm like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. So I immediately, I did not say, uh-uh. No, that's mine. I didn't say shit. I go, it is. Yes, that is my property. So now I'm like, okay, there's no way that this is this guy's property. He's making shit up. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I got him on the phone, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm really confused. I don't know what's going on. I thought that was my property. It's my property. I'm like, yes, okay. All right. So I kind of like deflected and got this guy kind of like talked down from the ledge. But I hung it up. I hung up the phone and I go, I'll call you back either way. Now, while that was going on, I had also sent a message off to another person by the same last name. Turns out that the guy that I sent that message off on Messenger 2 was the son of the guy that I was just talking to. So you got the old timer who's in the ground, the not as old timer, his son, and now guy number 3, who I sent a message to on Messenger, about my age. All right. So this is all like freaking me out, dead people on the property. Somebody's saying, no, that's mine. And I'm saying, no, it's not, it's mine. But in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, maybe it is their property. Maybe I thought that I had more property than I really have. Or I just have it wrong. Because I was under the impression that was. So thoroughly confused. But then I'm doing the math in my head. And I remember years ago, before my dad started to, his mind started to get a little fuzzy, he had showed me a boundary marker. And it just kind of like popped in my brain at that moment. I was like, oh, now I get why he showed. You know, I think this old timer's right. I think I was 100% under the impression that was mine, but it's not. No big deal. So I'm like, okay, well, I got to call this guy back and tell him, you know, the puzzle pieces just fit in my head. I'm pretty sure you're right, and I'm so sorry to bother you. All right. So then I call back. This time a lady picks up the phone. Hello? Go, hey, I'm trying to reach, and I said the name. And then she hung up. So I was like, uh-oh. Okay. They think that I'm some type of psychopath. And they hate me. So now I'm pissed off. And then I'm like, all right. Well, I was trying to be nice about this. But now she hung up on me. So there's only one thing left to do. That is drive back and dig up the remains and throw them in the garbage. Okay? But, of course, I didn't do that. But I'm like, all right, you guys are on the list now. You just, I mean, with that alone, you are now on, you're now on the list. You don't, this is not a place you want to be. No one ever, it's never good for you if you're on my list. So I'm like half pissed about it. Come to find out later in the day, the number that I called with the lady hung up on me was the wrong number. Had nothing to do with this. I'm like, oh, God, you idiot. So now I can't get out of my own way here. But time passes. And remember the guy I told you about that I sent a message to on Messenger? He calls me. And by the way, a couple of you are saying, hey, get a survey done. Nick says, I can send you exact coordinates of the corner. Absolutely. I have plot numbers. I think you might need that. I have all that information. I'm going to send that to you, Nick, and get confirmation. But I am now 99.5% convinced that I was wrong. And these folks are 100% convinced that I'm wrong. And I had more of that confirmation because while I'm at the hockey game, I got a phone call. So remember the two people that are in the ground. And then I talked to the old timer, which is the son of the deceased. Now the son of the son is calling me. So this guy is his grandparents are the ones that are in the ground. My age, 58-year-old guy, calls me up, says, hey, I got your message. Just calling you. So I call him when I'm driving home from the hockey game. Nicest guy in the world. And here's where it got fantastic. Everything was fixed. He goes, yeah, Eric, that is our spot. In fact, we used to have a pole in the ground there on the corner. And I used to spray paint it orange all the time. And I think the power company ripped it out of the ground. And I go, okay. And then he goes, so I remember your dad. And I go, oh, my God. Tell me what you about my dad. He goes, I remember when I was a kid shooting guns on your property with you and your dad. I go, you do? I go, I don't remember this. And he goes, well, and he's like 3 years older than me, so who knows? And so he was shooting. My dad had this .22. He had two .22s, .22 rifles, and we used to shoot cans. Now, I remember doing that. In fact, I still have the gun. There was two of them. My brother got one and I got one. And I go, yeah, well, you know what? I still got that gun, man. He goes, holy crap, I can't believe it. So me and this guy hit it off. And he was the guy, this dude, who actually made that path when he was up there. And I guess he goes up there quite a bit. He was up there all October. He's got a place in a nearby community. But that piece of land is nothing. It's just woods. And the final resting spot of this dude's grandmother and grandfather, who used to have a place right next door to where our place is. But I guess, long story short, I thought I had a hell of a lot more land than I really did, and I've never gotten it surveyed. I just bought it and thought, well, this is mine. Couldn't have been more wrong. Couldn't have been more wrong. I'm just so glad that I didn't, like, rage out on anybody, you know, and start to act like a cock. Because, you know, these are hillbilly people. And even though they come up north from places that are not hillbilly towns, if someone's going to murder you, it's easy to do up there. A lot of you are looking for, okay, like, what's the part where you turn them into a new lampshade? No, nothing like that. It ended up working out, but for a period of time, imagine me stumbling upon a tombstone in the fucking woods. And I have pictures, but I don't want to show them on here. I'll show them like maybe on the Patreon or something like that. Red Bull Brain Chris says, listen, I made a mistake. I promise I'll rebury the remains in the same spot as soon as I remember which ditch I threw them in. Oh, my God. But I thought something was up when I... Okay, that's pretty silly to think that random neighbor is going to bury remains on your property. But that's what I thought for a period of time. I was like, what is going on here? There's no way this could be like not my property. Clearly, someone is burying remains of loved ones on a stranger's property because that makes all the sense in the world. Red Bull Brain Chris says, and it happened on Halloween weekend. Yeah, when I was out there looking at the gravestone, I'm like looking at it, I'm expecting to hear, oh, you know, like a wolf howling behind me, or the wolf man, or Nosferatu. Nick says, get the app on X, $30 a year. You see every public and private boundary in the state. Super useful for finding public land. Amanda suggests just go Yellowstone on their ass. Now, what I've seen of Yellowstone are a few scenes where, like, trespassers really get... Something bad happens to trespassers on that show all the time. Mooney says, did they call you back and call you a nut job asking for a friend? Alan says, asshole of the day, EZ for trespassing. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much trespassing. So then when I was talking to dude, during the conversation, by the way, he's from the city of Warren. That's awesome too. Just talking to him, it's kind of like I made a new friend. And I go, well, you need to, I go, do you remember the old trailer that my dad had? He goes, yeah. I go, yeah, that's still there. That's like my primary dwelling. And he goes, you're kidding. And so it was really cool. I go, you need to come visit. So first of all, you're free to walk on the property if you're visiting your grandparents' gravesite. And just walk on there and check it out. And when I get up there next time, I'll text you and we can have a cookout. So it went from earlier in the day, I thought that this guy's dad was going to jump through the phone and wring my neck, to it all working out. And I was, when I was talking to the guy that's my age, I was like, look, you got to explain to your dad that I am so sorry if I caused him any stress by suggesting that those remains were buried on my property. That is simply a mistake on my part. I am profusely apologetic about that. And I'm just glad I didn't go ghetto on him. You know, I mean, it would be just like me to like immediately. I think that's starting to percolate more with age, because when someone starts to like get agitated, it's really kind of an art form to de-escalate. If you can somehow manage to calm someone down and get them, you know, maybe put them at ease. I sensed right away that I was in trouble. Mooney says, easy, open mouth, insert foot. You see, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I don't, how? It was an honest mistake, and I made it very clear. So I think that's a horrible comment on your part. Skip says, you always make new friends no matter the circumstances. Well, that's not entirely true. I was being murdered again over the weekend on Facebook. It's fantastic. I take these, whenever people attack me and say terrible things to me, I screenshot the comments and then repost them as, hey, love letters. And I post those, And it just gets people talking. So when I get those out of the blue, horrible comments, I'm like, yes, outstanding. This is absolutely perfect. And some of the meanest things on the planet come out of people's mouths. I was horrified for them. Holy shit. By the way, Mooney says, what did Pooh Bear say about the grave? And, well, she was under the impression that, you know, as I was gathering information, there were periods of time because we weren't together. She was with my father again. She was like, oh, my God, well, we got to dig it up. I'm like, nah, no, 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 we're not digging anything up. And by the way, when I saw the tombstone, I didn't think at first that it was remains there, but it actually is cremated remains. That was what was told to me by the family there. And then I said, so if you're ever in the market to sell, I want to buy this. And, you know, I should have known not to ask that question because no one is going to want to sell that because they made it obvious earlier when they actually said it was grandma and grandpa's wishes to have their ashes be that be their final because they loved that spot so much. And so after that, like minutes later, I go, so if you want to sell it, and if I was that guy, I would have said, idiot, I just told you that that was their final wish to be there. Why would we sell it? Hey, yeah, and like, yeah, just dig this up and take it with you. Or like, yeah, yeah, you can just have it. We don't want it anymore. I mean, that is probably the quickest way to establishing a haunted forest. All right? If there's some type of transaction to obtain those 5 acres of property, and then that process were to take place, it would be instant haunting. You would have two very upset ghosts at this point in time. And then I realized that that was a stupid thing to suggest. So anyway. Anyway, back to this weekend of horrible attacks. Chris says, and then you get us asshole trolls trolling the troll. Yes, outstanding. Back to the haunting. Nick says, build a rental cabin on top of it. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, quote, it's a perfect spot for the new outhouse. God. Please, no. All right. So this is what I mean. While I was enjoying my time up there, Pete posted this. Wow, what a joke. I just skipped around on the first half of his show linked here. Terrible host and clearly obsessed with FBHW. He's apparently blocked, but still asked for picks from their page. You'd have zero career if it weren't for talking about them, and what you have now, I'm not sure, should be considered an actual career. I actually feel bad for you after hearing you. You should move on. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for checking it out. I appreciate you being here and your insight. Keep on keeping on. That's how I handle these all the time. I never, ever match what they are trying to portray, which is hatred. Later on, Chris here wrote, Y-O-U-R, the perfect example of a disgruntled employee that won't let the past go. You got fired over 5 years ago, dude. And then I noticed that below that comment, the same person answered his own comment. Yes, most people learn from it and move on, not Eric Zane. And then it dawned on me. He wrote the first comment, and then he answered himself. He thought he was writing with his burner account, but he wasn't. He was writing with his account that he posted the first fucking comment on. And that's what I wrote. I go, dude, did you answer your own comment? You got to remember to switch accounts. Yeah, that's amateur hour. Holy shit. Michelle here. She wrote, man, you need mental health. Huh? Didn't you want to unalive yourself over losing your job? Targeting people, you need help. Okay, I wrote, I think it's safe to say that we all need mental health. Well said. All right. Man Bun Chris says, responding to his own comment is great, LOL. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, I like how caring they all are concerning your mental health. Bob refers to guy who answered himself as pulling a stuttering John. Skip says, you always stay positive. Probably piss them off, morons. Yeah, it is just one after the other. And that's totally fine. This helps me. And no matter how many times I say this to these people, they don't understand. And I don't, you know, they come onto my page, they pick fights, and what am I to do? Hello, friends. Your old pal Eric Zane with a word about ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from my friends over at Secret Nature. This is like the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I partnered with them. You can learn more at secretnature.com/Zane, and you'll also get a special deal there. But my gosh, during the daytime, I've got a daytime gummy that helps me stay focused, gives me steady lift. It's a fantastic, clean vibe within my system. Prior to Secret Nature, I found during the day that I was up and down, and I was like, what is happening to me? But ever since I started using the ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from Secret Nature, those problems are in the past. And people say to me, EZ, when you're talking about this, what do you mean by a clean feeling? I'd say steady, balanced, not overpowering. I just get more done and feel better throughout the day. Probably because Secret Nature is organic, farm-grown, never lab-made. Ultra-premium CBD gummies with real botanicals. Nothing extra. The best in the business. Bliss is what I use during the day for clear focus and productive flow. I want to wind down? Snoozers. Unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent, measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Now, this is where you try it. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Try Bliss during the day, Snoozers in the evening, and let me know how it goes. Again, 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature. Hey, it's Eric Zane, and uncommongoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, inch and a half thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh, what a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. you'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon goods were all out of the ordinary. I mean, I'm not gonna go ahead and respond in a stupid way and then get myself into trouble with the Facebook police. I don't want to do that. I'm actually thankful that they're there. It's so bad now that I posted a video, and I'll show it to you in a second. And it's one of the cutest things in the world. At the hockey game last night, it was a game when people can bring their dogs to the arena. So everybody's got a fucking dog there. It's great. In fact, we got a whole section of corgis. And during the intermission, they had corgi races on the ice. It was great. And so I posted the video of the corgi races. It's as sweet as could be. And this guy writes, "You are lame." And I'm like, what did I do now? What could possibly, how could you have a problem with some of the cutest dogs on the planet having a race? Oh my God. And I need to show you this video because there is a plot twist. One of the corgis doesn't even bother running. Okay. It just stays there. And then after the race is done, he notices our mascot on skates, Griff, and goes after him. Here comes the corgi.
I know you all have your favorites.
There's Josh.
But trust me, they're all
setting this up for the audience. There's Griff.
Again, they have to get scooped up by their owner here at the end.
All right, so we're getting ready. The person shooting the video, Josie, goes to the big screen to shoot the video of it. There's some of the corgis. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be awesome.
All
I got to do is say go. I'm standing there in the gray shooting my own video.
He's just about ready. He's got to face the other way.
All right.
You got to face this way.
Getting the final preparations made.
On your marks.
Yes.
Get set. Go!
There they go! And the corgis are running.
Oh, here we go.
And then whatever. This one, it doesn't matter. One win. It was way too short. It needed to be a longer race. And then that one jumps out. This guy has to grab the corgi.
Tyrion! Wow, nice save, Cody. That is Tyrion.
Okay. And then here's Griff. Now, there's another corgi that's still at the start line, just fucking around. This is like gray and black one. Very cute corgi. Look at it. He's going after Griff. He's barking at Griff. Griff's skating away. The corgi's chasing Griff.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Loose corgi.
Outstanding. Then he slides to a halt. He's like, all right, yeah, you better run. How awesome is that? That is fun. Those dogs are spectacular. I love them so much. Becca Shea is here. She says, that's cute. Skip loved it. Bob says, Opie just rages out and blames Anthony for everything. Yeah, that's true. Dude's got to settle down. Have some fun in his life. All right. So, in between reading people attacking me brutally over the weekend, in between discovering graves and freaking out that my property was being robbed from me, I was busy clearing leaves, which is an absolute bitch. So the machine, it's a power leaf blower. It's not gas, it's electric, but it's pretty powerful. So powerful, though, that if I have a heater on in the trailer where it's plugged in, it'll trip the breaker. You know, whatever. But I'm swinging that thing for hours. And by the end of the day, my entire upper body, I am so unbelievably out of shape that my entire upper body, it's like I had been doing upright rows or shrugs the whole day. With like 500-pound weights. That's how bad the fatigue was. fucking horrible. But amazingly, I got everything done and couldn't be happier about that. Because if you don't get the leaves, and then there's a plan. I actually might be a millionaire, ladies and gentlemen. Last year at this time, we burned a lot of leaves. Charity scam Mike and I. And the fire pit, picture a bunch of rocks around it and burning leaves on top, spilling out on top of the rocks and around the rocks. Just burning, smoldering. Springtime comes, and that area, morel mushrooms, which are shit, but everybody loves them. They sell for $200 to $500 a pound, morel mushrooms. No lie. There is a very, it's a very difficult to replicate them. They very rarely grow in the same spot more than once, and no one knows why. I did do some research and found out that there's a couple dudes, Danish dudes, who have been able to create the right environment to grow them year-round indoors. But as far as outdoors, it's luck of the draw. You just walk around, you forage, you find the morels, you clip them, you prepare them, and you eat them. Now, I pulled out about 5 ounces of morel mushrooms, and there was probably about 7 or 8 of them. I clipped them. I did what you're supposed to do, and then I ate them, and it was like I was eating sand. They were horrible. They tasted like shit, and I don't know if I didn't prepare them right or what, but Mike said, you're an asshole, okay? You fucked it up. They're great. Nick says you may have found the secret sauce. Burnt trash and leaves. He's 100% correct. So what I did this weekend was I did that same exact thing. This is now 1 year in the future, right now. A year ago, leaves burning by the rocks. And then after I saw the morels 6 months later, I did some research. Morels like disturbed ground with what's left over after you burn leaves. And so they like disturbed ground, and that was the raking. They like burnt leaves. They like moisture. They like the right blend of shade and sun. And I'm sure temperature, time of year, all these things factor in. Now, if I have figured this out, all right, what I'm going to do is every piece of property is going to be a fire. Every inch of the property is going to be a fire pit with rocks. And I will be replicating that. And then selling those. Mike says, so, yeah, you'll be a millionaire. Let's do some easy math. If I manage to sell on EZ's Morel Mushroom Farm 1,000 pounds at $500 a pound, a lot of you could have probably done this in your head, but that's $500,000. Okay. Now, I'll tell you this. If I am right, some will say, EZ, you have to tell the world about this. No, I don't think so. I'm not going to saturate the market with my technique. I want to be the only one. And then what I'll do is I'll pick out some of the finer local restaurants. And I'll be like fucking Heisenberg. You know, when he gives Tuco the sample or Crazy A the sample, and they're like, oh, man, this is good. Yeah, bring back more. I'll buy it off you. I will deliver samples of my easy morel mushrooms to the locals that have some finer restaurants, not like a stupid fucking pub food shithole. And I'll grow, I'll harvest, and I'll sell. Becca Shea says, I will help you pick them if you give me some. Skip says, keep your secret. People kill for that kind of thing. I've already given the secret away just now. I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, honestly, for the people that listen to this show, some of you may not be interested. You might not have the means to do it, but that's all that happens. So in 6 months, we will know If I have been able to replicate in the wild the process of growing morel mushrooms. Bob says, this great idea will be right between Up North Rentals idea and buying Bosco's Pub idea. Look, there is no shortage of easy ideas on this show. We know that. Man Bun Chris writes, quote, you may not have the means. It's a fire pit in leaves. That's not what I'm talking about, Dick. The climate, the angle of the sun, the humidity levels, what's in the soil, these all contribute, dickbag. I don't think anybody has faith in this. Stevie says, someone put a reminder on your phone for 6 months so we can revisit this. Man Bun Chris says, EZ is out there testing the pH level of the soil. Well, no. However, they grew once, so it's obviously perfect. Okay? All I need to do is replicate. And we're good to go, right? Maybe. Possibly. Charity Scam Mike has zero faith. He says, you know, that's like getting lightning to strike twice in the same place. Bob says, don't forget the depleted uranium from the A-10 rounds, which, by the way, they were in the air again over the weekend. Now, they weren't at range 40, which is next to me. They were at range 44, which is about 3 miles away. But it's far enough away, that you, and it's not too far away, where you can still hear. This ridiculous Gatling gun on the front of these things. God, incredible to hear that. IMKO says that would be so cool. The A-10 is so freaking sweet. It's going away, you know? I don't know if you heard about that. They're phasing those out. Obsolete. All right. It is, I believe, SNAP Benefit Day. I mean, that was November 1st, right? SNAP benefits so that folks who count on that to get food. There was a special on, I think it was Meet the Press on Sunday, about how 42 million Americans are going to have to go without, at least temporarily. And I think they're trying to make something happen to fund that regardless. But as of right now, not happening. And there was this couple that was on TV that was, they're like, we don't know what we're going to do. We depend on $750 a month for that. And I cannot, now they've known, these two people in particular, they have known for a month this has been being discussed. The possibility of these going away while the government shutdown takes place. Wouldn't you, it was a husband, wife with five kids, and they count on the $750 a month. And they like, we are at a loss. We have no idea how we are going to do this. Now, I know I've talked about this a lot, but $750 divided by $16 an hour. Okay, so if you work for $16 an hour, in a month, you would have to come up with 46 hours. Let's just say 47 hours in a month. To make up that money. Let's divide that by two because you got a husband and wife team in this particular scenario. So between the husband and wife team, in a month, each of them needs to work 23 hours in that time. So that averages out to, let's just say 31 days, three quarters of 1 hour a day more. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this to illustrate that people are not helpless. I don't even give a shit if after the government comes back and the benefits kick in, you quit the shitty job that I'm suggesting you get to support your family. My point is, it's not like you don't have anything to do. There's plenty you can do. And of the 42 million people who are going without their benefits, excuse me, some as low as $500 a month, some as high as $1,100 a month. A lot of those 42 million can do what I'm suggesting here. Now, some cannot. Some are elderly, or maybe they have a disability, or they're incapacitated in some way. I get that. I'm just saying it probably would be a good idea in the meantime to, add that extra 0.75 hours a day and start wrapping your mind around that idea instead of throwing your hands in the air going, oh, we're dead. Oh, what are you going to do now, ma'am? Die. We're going to starve to death. There's nothing we can do. We're absolutely helpless. Wouldn't that be easier? Chris adds, maybe, just maybe, her quote-unquote box should have been closed and five kids were a bad idea for that family. Alan writes, here we go again. You know, you're not helping. You're not helping with here we go again. This is a great rant. All right. Shut up, cock. Man Bun Chris says, you just got to work 90 hours a week. It's easy. Come on. Tofus says, where's all the tariff money going? What am I, Google? Look it up. Becca Shea suggests that Donald Trump gets the tariff money and puts it in his pocket. I don't think that either of you are helping in this discussion. I'm focusing on the boots on the ground, the people who are counting on those benefits and they are no longer there. So what do? Do you complain or do you go out and provide for your family? If you do that, something great may happen. You may discover that you had a skill you didn't have before. Maybe somebody's going to want you to help out with whatever you were doing to earn that money. All I'm suggesting is move your feet. Piano Finger Banger says, to receive SNAP, you have to work a minimum of 30 hours a week, I believe. Google doesn't know either, says Tofus. All right, you're not helping me. Skip says it's not Trump's fault that losers don't want to work. Joe Martinez says, once a crook, always a crook. Cole says, I'm guessing that each have a few hundred pounds to lose before they starve to death. Yeah, some of those folks, they could go on a fast and become ripped like Jeremy K. Alan says, don't worry, Easy. I agree with everything you're saying. Well, thank you. I'm glad. I was starting to wonder. Put them to work building that wonderful presidential ballroom. Yeah, I saw that. They ripped down a portion of the White House and they're building a ballroom now. Now, I have no idea why they're doing that. It seems ridiculous to me. But everybody keeps bitching about it. And I don't know if that's going to change anything. I don't care that they're building a ballroom. I really don't. I mean, I wouldn't have built a ballroom if I was in charge. But they are building a ballroom. Tofus says it costs $200 million. Yeah, I know. I know. I still don't care. I don't care at all. This is what I want out of America. I want my Social Security. I want a military that is strong as shit to protect me. And I want intelligence to be funded so that they can break up terror plots. Did you see that story? Now, the defense for these guys in Dearborn, Michigan, are saying they're video gamers. But, and that Cash Patel jumped the gun. But as the weekend was getting started, the FBI said, "We have broken up a terror cell." They were going to, we had impending doom. It was going to be a Halloween massacre in Detroit, and thousands were going to die. We broke it up. They did a raid at like very early on Halloween, and you see them busting in, flashbangs, and you know, guys with the weapons drawn, and they arrested a whole bunch of 16 to 20-year-old Muslim kids. Now, if you're going to do a terror bust, honestly, if you're the FBI, the entire community of Dearborn, Michigan should be under surveillance at all times. Everybody there is a Muslim. So you know how Trump is. I wouldn't be surprised if they're constantly listening in to every conversation that happens within the, that is the largest community of Arab Americans in the United States. The whole city is Muslim. The city streets are written in Arabic. All right? All the restaurants, all the stores, Arabic. So go in, raid the place, arrest them. They take a whole bunch of computer equipment with them. And Cash Patel takes his victory lap. He's saying, "We have busted up an ISIS ring." I guess there was chatter on a chat group or something like that, and the FBI had infiltrated it, and they were posing as whatever, ISIS members. And they said, "Yeah, they're calling it Pumpkin Day. They're going to blow everybody up." They went in, got them, and then the defense attorney for these young people, like, "Yeah, this is stupid, okay? They're playing video games. That's what they're doing." Now, I'm going to side with Cash Patel and the FBI here, all right? And this is going to sound horrible, but all I know is that members of ISIS flew planes into our buildings. Okay, so based on that alone, I am going to say that the FBI is right. And even if these people were just getting ready to play video games, in the meantime, they should send them all to Guantanamo Bay while we sort this out. That is the way I would do this. I would take them directly. Is that still even a prison? Is that a thing anymore? Do we still send people to Guantanamo Bay? I would send all of those people to Guantanamo Bay immediately. Until we get some answers. And take your time getting the answers. Tofus says, "Yeah, fuck due process, constitutional rights, fuck that thing." And I get that. I get that all the time from people. People are saying that if you nab a gang member, you cannot just, you have to actually arrest them and give them due process. But this is actually my way of handling it. I love this, that they take gang members and don't give them due process. If there's any people that you want not having due process, it would be gang members. So if you're a gang member and you don't get due process, I love that. I support gang members not getting due process. IMKO says they are getting due process. How are they not? I have no idea. I'm only basing that on Tofus's comments. And he seems to know everything. You know, he's a huge bleeding heart liberal. And I love him for that. But I am not. So I am happy that the video game players were busted. All right. I have the workplace staff meeting to get to, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to send you on your way. I'll talk to you. Keep an eye out on Twitch because, you know, it never gives the message that I'm back. So I don't know why that is. It should give you a notification, but half the time it doesn't. So I'll talk to you then.